Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is Jude Albright, and I am so glad that you are joining me for Love Your Addiction. Everything on this planet has a life, has a vibration, and addictions have a life of their own too. What if addiction is not about what you do, but rather about what you are refusing to be, what you are denying yourself? Love Your Addiction provides a dialogue between you, the listener, and me, Jude Albright, your host. Its purpose is to expose truths so that you can see, hear, and feel how to love your addiction for what it has shown you about you. And I welcome you here today, my beautiful listeners, to see love in a very different light. I'm here to help you recover from the belief that there is something wrong with you, that there has ever been something wrong with you, that your addiction has been bad. And I'm also wondering, how much of your life have you spent thinking about your wrongness? Well, please stop it. When you lose something, or when you love something, and you appreciate it, you bring gratitude into your life. And when you're grateful, you become more loving. So when you accept your addiction and give it love, you are so much better able to see what it has been trying to show you about you. And with loving comes acceptance of yourself and what you've been through. And here's a very important awareness for you. Love never, ever, ever, ever hurts. It's your fear that is coming up. So please ignore what our movies and our songs have programmed you to feel about love. Well, today we are going to be focusing on how do we let go of the fear of being wrong? Because during the addictive process, oftentimes we do some pretty stupid things to ourselves and to others. And many times we're left with open wounds that we find hard to forgive and release. What if there was an easy way of letting go of our fears of not being good enough? Well, you know, there really is. And today, we are going to be touching on step 4 of Soul Steps, which says, quote, admitted we were afraid to take our own personal inventory, but did so in a powerful way, end of quote. Today, the lovely, the glorious, the beautiful, and the wonderful Sharon Ann Mycroft is going to be joining us. I am so excited because her phone call actually went through, and last week when I had advertised that she was going to be on, there was just no way that I was able to get her phone call, and I know that many of you listeners were very disappointed, so this week I didn't even advertise it, so this is a big surprise, and in a minute we're going to say hello to her. So please join us in the chat room, which you can access at the top of your page that you're looking at on the computer, or call in at 516-453-9181 with questions and insights. We're all in this together, and I'm sure that every one of you desires peace, joy, love, harmony, and abundance in your life, just like Sharon and I do. So let's get each other there. I'm not out to try to change anybody. Only you can change you. Well, Sharon and I are simply messengers of truths for you, which bring you new possibilities for your life of ease, joy, and fulfillment. And with that, Sharon, you're there, I still hope. Are you?
I am here, Jude. It's wonderful to join you on your show today.
Oh, I'm so glad. And I would like to make everybody aware that Sharon and I have done many shows together, and we are preparing to do Voice for Change on Voice America. And we're very close to starting that show. We have been accepting donations, and we really appreciate the donations that we've received. And anybody listening right now, we are about $2,500 shy of what we really need for the pre-publication costs. So feel free to donate, and you can go on beingrecovered.net, and you will see a link where you can give a donation. Or you can also go to SharonAnnWyckoff.com. Okay, today we are looking at inventory. And that is such a scary word for so many people, because we carry so much shame and guilt thinking that there's something wrong with us. And there is nothing wrong with any one of us. And today, that is Sharon's and my mission, to help you realize that you can take your inventory in a very powerful way, because all inventory means is taking stock. There's no judgment attached to it. It's not a calculation. It's not an it's simply an account. And when we attach fear and guilt and shame and other uncomfortable emotions to taking stock of our lives, then we feel funny about inventory. So, Sharon, do you have any input that you'd like to make at this point about inventorying and how we've been afraid to take our personal inventory?
Well, I think you're so right, Jude, that when we can take away the blaming, all the negative feelings that we have toward ourselves about the experience, and truly do it from a place of objectivity. I know that's difficult for some people to do, but I think that's so important, because when we connect it with the blame, we can never really see the truth in it. And understanding that what we did was the best we could in the moment is just so important. We are always doing the best we can. And what our actions have been in the past have been because of how we have been treated, also our past experiences, because we are a conglomeration of everything that's come our way since birth, and as you pointed out in your materials, even before birth at times. So truly, truly taking away the judgment and just looking, okay, up to now, this has been my way of being. This has been my activity. But from this day forward, it can be different. And so I just think it's so powerful when you say, be sure and take the judgment out of the inventory.
Oh, I love what you said. And as you were talking about the past, what clicked in with me that I haven't thought of in years was how I was programmed by Catholicism to judge everything that I did and usually judge it as wrong. I remember as a young kid going to confession, which I didn't like in the first place. But I remember thinking before I went in, you know, what is really so bad about me? And I didn't know what to say. So I would typically go in and I would say, I disobeyed my parents and I fought with my brothers. Mm-hmm. Now, what a judgment
yes.
for a young kid to have to say that in order to be accepted in religion. So I'm using that as an example, and those of you who find solace and enjoy confession, just ignore what I said, because we are all on our own paths. But also be aware of who taught you how to judge you, and how did you learn that there is something wrong with you?
Yes.
Because it's not true. There's nothing wrong with you. Nothing wrong with
Absolutely.
Any of us.
The question.
So I'm looking
so
at
important.
Inventory from a kindness sense. And I am saying, and I'm going to keep saying throughout the program, please remember to be kind. We're taught to be kind to others, but whoever told you to be kind to yourself? Well, I'm doing that right now, and Sharon, I'm sure you are too, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. I just think it is so important for us to really stop and realize what you said, Jude, that we have been taught to judge. We have been taught because of our life on planet Earth here. You know, we truly are a spiritual being having a human experience. And we have to realize this. So we have been taught, and this is our predicament that we are in. This is what we find ourselves in. So as we begin to peel away the layers, we have to really look closely at everything that we're doing. I wrote a poem once. This is a time to see with new eyes, to hear with new ears, to act with new understanding. So learn, know that you have learned to judge yourself, and you can learn not to judge, to bless yourself, and to be kind to yourself.
Oh, so important to remind people, anything you learn, you can unlearn.
Yes.
It's all a choice. But the issue with most of us is we learn something and we take it in as a belief, and therefore we don't want to change it because, for many, 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 many reasons. A lot of times we're just too lazy and we don't want to look into alternatives. But what you said, Sharon, that I think is so important for people to really, really conceptualize and take into their being is that we are beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. Not the other way around. And if we really incorporate that into ourselves, there can be no judgment, absolutely none whatsoever. We need to look at it through, as your poem said, through different eyes. What might I be as spirit in a human body attempting to learn by whatever experience I have created? And I'm using the experience of having created an addiction. And I'd like to point out right now an addiction that I am in no way powerless over, as AA teaches. I have full power because I have learned how to behave in an addictive way, and I can unlearn it and choose otherwise. So, again, please remember to be kind to yourself. A lot of times, because of the things that we have been programmed to believe as children, we develop defense mechanisms. And if we would look at some of the experiences that we've had, both in and out of addictions, we can look at the quality and we can see what it really is telling us about us without judgment. For example, let's take the quality of dishonesty. Most people in addictions don't tell the truth to themselves or to others. And when I really look at the quality dishonesty, what might it really tell me about me? And I believe that if I am dishonest, I'm really afraid to let people know who I really am because they might reject me and think I'm not good enough, and then I'd really be hurt. So that's one way of looking at some of the qualities that we take on as defense mechanisms. Sharon, your input, please.
Yes, I just love that, what you're saying, dishonesty, looking at that, and really realizing where we come from in order to be dishonest. That is just so important that we don't want to be hurt because, you know, many of us in the past have felt, and maybe still many do still today, feel that we are not good enough. You know, we have been taught through judgment, through our childhood, that we are not living up to what we should be. And so it's normal for many people to just think that still, but they haven't looked at their beliefs. So to realize that the traits that are the experiences that we have been doing, the qualities we've had, are because of a way of protecting ourselves. And we can only love that about ourselves. You know, there's a saying that if you can't really love yourself, love the part of you that can't love yourself. And you just want to send love to yourself for whatever you've gone through. So I think that dishonesty is a wonderful example of how we have learned to cope and to deal with life protecting ourselves.
Yeah. Oh, you said that beautifully. And also to the idea of love that you brought in. And when I look at dishonesty, I can also look at another quality that kind of goes along with it. And that might be the quality that I can make a quick decision. Well, I can quickly make up a lie. And I'm looking at that as very affirmative and very positive rather than judging myself as wrong for being dishonest, because what that really shows me in my experience, even though I may not believe it, is that I'm very intelligent and I'm very quick-witted. So,
very true.
So we are offering a different perspective to looking at yourself with judgment and being afraid to take an inventory. If you were to take an inventory and admit you were dishonest, but that you also could make very quick decisions, it's a wonderful trait to be able to have. So, I'm wondering, for those of you listening, if you could now thank all of the likable qualities that you have in your life, because they empower you. But rather than looking at the likable qualities, we usually look at all the stuff that we don't like about ourselves. And again, it's involving judgment, definitely. So, I'm going to give you a few questions here that you can pose to yourself that may help you get on a different track in terms of looking at an inventory. And I basically, let me reword it. The first one would be, what are the things that you really like about yourself, and what have they been showing and telling you? And then, what are the things that you have disliked about yourself that they have been showing you and telling you? Another question might be, what beliefs have they been mirroring back to you? For example, was your dishonesty really showing you that it's quality lived hidden in you, and therefore you needed to draw dishonest experiences to you so it could be exposed. That's what life's experiences are all about. They are meant to mirror back to us what we need to look at in us. Another question for you. Would it make sense that when you stop denying and accepting the truth that you are a magnificent being, as we've already mentioned, and then the situations in your life will reflect that integrity, and then you no longer will attract dishonest people or situations to you? Sharon, do you have any questions or examples that you want to add right now?
Oh, Jude, I just think this whole idea about looking at your rightness, you've brought it up at the beginning of the show and again, you know, during this part. I just think it's so important that we have to, we get to do this. Sometimes it's really hard for people to do that, so I just invite them to maybe, you know, say, I love myself many times a day. And I know even a minister who was doing this because of a book we were reading in a group, and he said that although he loves himself in a beautiful way, he did it, I think, is at Matt Kahn's suggestion from his book, Love What Arises, 108 times a day for an extended period of time. And he was just amazed at the shift that took place. So all of us, no matter where we're at the level of self-love, can always increase it. And so if these things are hard for you to see the positive in, as Judith said, I really invite you to do just a practice of saying, I love myself, over and over until you really feel that. And Jude, your guidebook is just brilliant. I just hope that you really tell people it's available, the whole program, because it has such wonderful insights as to how to do this, to ask the questions, to do this inventory.
Well, thank you for mentioning that, and I will say that anybody interested in the guidebook, if you go on beingrecovered.net, you'll find information on it, and it is the supplement to the original Soul Steps, which are the 12 steps that I've been going over, and as I said at the beginning of the program, that we're looking at step 4 right now. And I really have found myself that by asking questions to myself, amazing answers come up. And yeah. Your example, Sharon, of saying I love myself is really, really powerful. I agree with you. And for me, it's even more powerful when I look in the mirror and I look into my eyes because there have been many times in my life when I've wanted to judge my body. My boobs are sagging, or I've got a gut, or my belly is too big. All of those things are really cruel things that we say to our body. And our body is consciousness, just like we are consciousness. And when we say things like that to ourselves, we really diminish the belief and the knowingness of who we really are. And as you so beautifully put, Sharon, that we're love. I mean, bottom line, period, point blank, we are love. That's it.
Absolutely. And the other thing is, I just had an iridology appointment about 3 weeks ago, and the gentleman, what he does is he can look into your eyes to see what's going on. And one of the things that we were discussing, because there was a heart condition that he saw that I was healing in my family lineage, perfection actually creates heart stress and stress on the gut. So it can hurt us emotionally, but also can affect us physically. So we just need to know that we can affect ourselves deeply with the thoughts that we think and say about ourselves.
Oh, that is so, so important for people to realize because, you know, we get a sickness, we get something that is considered horribly bad like cancer or diabetes, and we run to the doctor and we look for a physical way of changing this, when in reality, underneath all of our experiences, including serious illness, is our belief system, which is created through our conscious and unconscious emotions, which create our thoughts, which become our beliefs, which create our experiences. So I'm so glad you shared that. And for those of you who are not sure of what iridology is, Sharon, you want to be a little bit more specific on that so that anybody who might be leaning toward that will get a better understanding?
Certainly. I've just had three readings in my life, and it is one, a person who has studied the eyes, the actual looking at the eyes. They take a little flashlight, and my eyes are very sensitive, and I thought it would affect me, but it was just fine. I look one way, and they look at the other. They look through the eye, and they can see your body physically, emotionally, socially, spiritually, and mentally. And it was an amazing appointment, amazing reading, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful teaching that is out there. It's called iridology.
Well, yes, thank you for that. And I, you're inspiring me to go and have one done recently. It's been quite a while since I had one done. And I know a lot of people deny the fact that there are practitioners who are able to look into our belief systems, look into where we are spiritually, mentally, emotionally, like you said. And the reality is those practitioners do exist.
It does.
Well,
it's just amazing.
It is, and we are winding down. We've got about 2 minutes left. Is
Thank
there anything,
you, dude,
Sharon, that
wonderful.
You would like to leave readers, or readers, listeners with?
Oh, just to truly love yourself, whatever your path has been, you can change it beginning today. And it's going to begin with self-love. And I strongly just love your material, Jude. So take advantage, listeners, of what Jude's expertise is, and look at her soul steps. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, I'm so glad I actually was able to take your call. And I thank you very much. And anybody who is interested in the topic and soul steps, you can see the link right on the webpage right now. And anybody who is simply listening, it's just being recovered, BEINGRECOVERED.com. And with that, what is truth? The sight of truth awakens and stirs us. The voice of truth repeatedly echoes awareness in us. The smell of truth sweetly comforts us. The taste of truth refreshingly nourishes us. And the feeling of truth embraces us. Please remember and remind yourself to stay wrapped in your truth and your love and your power, remembering the true, magnificent, powerful, beautiful you. And in so doing, please remember that you are making the world a better place with you in it. Bye for now.
Bye.